We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Happy Monday morning to you. Andy Bunker and Harry Douglas hanging out till 2 o'clock this afternoon. You can give us each a follow on Twitter. I'm at TBM929. Harry is at HDouglas83. And as always, the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line is open as well. You can text us with your thoughts. Tons to talk about in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll get back into some of that NCAA conversation and Hawks conversation as the show goes on. But the Braves make some big decisions over the weekend. They open up their new spring training stadium. And they open up the season in less than a week. We'll have Joe Patrick, our 92.9 The Game Braves insider, on with us in about 20 minutes from right now. Before we get to that, though, Harry, there's some very interesting NFL stuff coming out today. Gronk is going to retire. I know we want to talk about that. But I wanted to get your perspective on Julio Jones. You played with the man for four seasons. You have an interesting perspective on that that not a whole lot of other people have. I know you still chat with Julio from time to time as well. We heard on Friday that maybe his contract situation was going to be resolved soon. I think we all agree, hopefully, that it does. And we all agree that it's going to be a very big number, and it deserves to be a very big number. What do you see with this process, and how do you see this process playing out, and how quickly will it happen?
I'm going to give y'all the recipe on why you should pay Julio Jones. And it's going to start with this word right here. Number one, he's dependable.
Yes.
He's not in the news. For the negative stuff.
Right. He's never in the news for negative stuff.
He's the best receiver in the NFL. He's humble. He's not a diva. He's a team guy. So you have to pay this guy because he's done everything the right way. He's done everything the way that you talk to kids when they come in the lead, how it should be done. So you have to reward him, number one, because he deserves it. Number two, to show them these young guys coming in that you do these things, we will reward you. You don't do these things, it's going to be hard to be rewarded.
Right, that's a really important message for a franchise to send. And we talk about that quite a bit with Dimitroff and Quinn in this era of Atlanta Falcons, where they did such a good job drafting, especially early, that now a lot of these guys are coming up for contracts. Grady Jarrett right now is probably the biggest name in that situation. You have to give that message and send that message to young guys. You did it last offseason by signing Ricardo Allen, a guy that never would have thought that he would be getting that type of contract.
When I was there in Atlanta, Ricardo was on practice squad.
Right, exactly.
And I seen that young man.
He got cut on Hard Knocks.
Grind, work hard to where he's at today. And I seen him the other day. I was up at the Falcons facility, and I seen him, and I told him. I said, man, I admire your grind. I admire it. Because not everybody does it this way.
Well, I admire it. The message you said, exactly. And noticing that, either as a fan or a former player or former teammate, is something that's really going to matter in terms of the franchise and the ability to build the franchise. Because if you have other young guys that see themselves in that same situation, you're like, all right, there's a very recent example that I can look at and say to myself, Rico did it, and he got rewarded for it. Grady was a fifth-round draft pick. Hopefully he's going to get rewarded for it. That's a sticky situation and a different conversation. But Julio is the same thing, a little different. I mean, Julio comes in with a different pedigree and a different skill set and obviously a different ability level. But you also have to reward guys at that end as well. You did it with Matt Ryan last offseason, and now you're going to set the market again with Julio. I wonder from your perspective, because again, almost no one in the world has the perspective that you have on this. What's it like to be the other receiver? Like, we always talk about Julio makes it really nice to be the other guy. It really frees things up for you. What is that like?
So I'll tell you this. When you have a guy like Julio, and with me, I had a guy, I had guys. I had Roddy, I had Julio, I had Tony G. So it was all a matter of the week of who was going to get the double team. And I know Roddy, who sometimes they'd come to me, they'd be like, listen, hey, they're going to double us. You got the one-on-ones. You and Tony going to have the one-on-ones. So I was like, it's time to eat, baby. It's time to eat. I got my little spoon going towards my mouth. It's time to eat. It's time to eat.
Yeah. And that's something that you can't really put a price tag on. I mean, that's something that Julio does that we talked about the magnetism that Trey may hopefully be able to have in free agency. Julio has a literal magnetism in terms of what the defense has to do in order to try to stop him on the field, which is another reason why you reward him.
And I'm going to tell you this. Julio makes it so much easier for every other guy on the field on offense. So Austin Hooper is going to benefit. He's going to get one-on-ones. Sanu is going to get one-on-ones. And you've seen the game. I can't remember the game where Ridley went off. He had three touchdowns. Who were they playing against? I can't remember.
I think that was the It was early in the season. I forget.
But those are the type of things I'm talking about from benefiting from having a Julio Jones on the field. You get the one-on-one coverage with Ridley, your first-round draft pick, and he's going to win that matchup 9 times out of 10.
So what's happening right now with the situation? We heard from Mike Freeman from Bleacher Report reported on Friday that the contract situation was imminent. Like, I know not specifically. You can't tell us specifically what's happening, but just in terms of how these things work. Is Julio's agent calling up the Falcons? Are the Falcons contacting him? How is this negotiated? Because it seems like a pretty easy negotiation.
Well,
here's what Odell got. Here's what AB got. Here's what I want. Let's sign the paper.
Well, I'll say with these processes, Julio being your best player and being that guy on the
team. Oh, it was the Saints game, by the way.
It was
Week
game.
3, yeah. Early against the Saints.
It's mutual respect on both sides, you know what I mean? So you just go back and forth and let it happen. I mean, it's going to get done. So it's just a matter of getting the kinks worked out, that's all.
Another big story today is that Rob Gronkowski is going to retire. No more football for Gronk. I think that's probably the right decision, given
Gronk trying to party. Gronk not playing with y'all, man.
Right.
Gronk trying to go out here and spike beer off his head. And
while he still can.
Drink a keg or something. Gronk trying to party.
He wants to do keg stands while he can still do it, and his spine isn't fused together, right? I mean, we've seen Gronk over the last handful of the things that he's had to do to get on the field.
I don't knock it. Do your thing, Gronk.
Me too. I'm with you on that. You know, Gronk is a polarizing guy. We talk about it, but people get mad because, different players might be held to a different standard if they acted the way Gronk acted. I mean, maybe that's true, but Gronk, to me, has always, A, been an excellent football player, so I'm not mad at him about that. But then, B, he's just a guy who likes to he's just a frat kid who likes to have fun.
I'll tell you this. One thing I respect Bill Belichick and the Patriots organization on is that they understood how Gronk was. Y'all got to understand where Gronk went to college at now.
Yeah.
Gronk went to college in Arizona.
He was in Tucson, Arizona.
So they understood what they were getting when they drafted Gronk. And they never tried to change Gronk. They allowed Gronk to be Gronk. The great coaches allow players to be themselves because that's when you're going to get the best out of your players, when you allow them to be themselves.
79 touchdowns, 115 games, 3 Super Bowls. The resume is impressive.
It's there.
And he's going to the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. We understand that. But with guys like that, when they retire, other questions get asked. And I think the natural question with a guy like Gronk is he the best player to ever play that position? You played with a guy who is also in that debate.
Can I give y'all my answer with some energy?
Yes, please.
Hell no.
Okay. All right. Why? Why then? Because there are going to be people that argue that he is. I'm with you.
The numbers don't match
Tony
up.
Gonzalez is the greatest tight end to ever play in the NFL, as far as I'm concerned. But there will be people that try to advocate for Rob Gronkowski, and why are they wrong?
Now, I'm going to decipher this for you guys that are listening on the radio today, which should be everybody that's in anywhere. Just listen.
Oh, trust me. They're all listening.
Just listen.
Yeah.
So, Tony is the greatest tight end to ever play the game. I would say the greatest receiving tight end to ever play the game.
Okay, so now we're getting into qualifiers.
Tony wasn't the best of blockers mm-hmm. when it came to the run game. Gronk is a great blocker in the run game. So when you're deciphering the two, you have to throw that out there. Gronk is a great blocker. Tony's not the best of blockers at tight end. But at the same time, I've never seen Tony G take a hit like Gronk has taken hits at the tight end position. We used to laugh at Tony all the time, man. Tony would catch a ball and do a step back like he's on the basketball court. And we used to always, me and Roddy used to always laugh at him. But he did that, so if a hit was coming, he'd be able to brace for impact.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I've never seen Tony take kill shots. you put the ball pretty much anywhere near him, he gonna come down. I didn't see him catch the ball with 3-4 guys. Well, I'm like, oh, it's no way.
Right.
He come down with it.
So again, I mean, the skill set that Tony had obviously is one of the reasons why he's that guy.
Yeah.
But I also think, and people, I you know, if you're making the argument for Rob Gronkowski, you're going to look at it on a per year or per game basis as opposed to Tony Gonzalez, and you're going to say he had more time to do it. But I think that's a skill that's valuable. I think that you have to keep that in mind. Rob Gronkowski played 115 games in his career and is retiring at the age of 29 because he was hurt all the time.
But
Tony Gonzalez
thing.
Played a lot of games because he wasn't.
That's one of the main factors, durability.
Right.
Tony was durable, and you can count on him every game, every night, every Sunday evening, Sunday afternoon. Gronk, sometimes he was questionable. You didn't know what he had going on. He just had too many injuries.
And that's a valuable asset. Yeah. People talk about that like that's a detraction from Tony Gonzalez.
No.
To me, that's another argument in his favor, is the fact that you were going to have him on the field every single Sunday for how many years? 15 years? I mean, as long as he was in the NFL and he was going to give you a high-level effort and he was an incredibly skilled player that you could rely on for 16 games every single season.
So message to all the young guys who are coming up playing, even not just young guys, young girls coming up playing sports. You can't make the club in the tub.
Right.
The more durable you are, the longer you're going to be where you want to be.
Exactly right. And taking care of yourself and preparing and being durable is a valuable asset.
That's
something
right.
that you need to take, I think, seriously. And if you're having the conversation about who is the best, Antonio Gates, obviously, you know, can't have that conversation without throwing his name in there as well. He's been incredibly durable,
but
too. He's been in the league for a long time.
But I've been in that offense. That Antonio Gates
yeah.
has been in his entire career. It's made for a receiving tight end. It's not that much blocking per se.
All right.
You know what I mean? And they take him out when it comes to all that.
So what's Gronk do now besides party? I mean, I think he's partying. We're going to see him partying, there's no doubt. But there's 2 weeks away from a pretty big event.
I think he's going to get into acting.
I think he's going to get into acting. He's also been in wrestling, right? And what are we 2 weeks away from? What is it, WrestleMania?
2 weeks away from WrestleMania, which he did participate in last year.
How surprised would you be to see Gronk at WrestleMania in 2 weeks? I wouldn't be.
Where's WrestleMania at this year?
I believe
it doesn't matter where WrestleMania is.
But I bet Gronk's going to be there.
The Rock's going to be there too? That's perfect. See?
Jabroni?
Hey, did you see there was a video out this morning that I saw people retweeting on Twitter? The Rock was here. He must be filming something here. It's a school bus full of kids on their way to school. Noticed that The Rock was next to them, stuck in traffic on the freeway, and they all are like, "Oh my God, it's The Rock, it's Dwayne Johnson!" And they all start coming over. Everybody's got their phones and stuff, taking pictures of The Rock, and he played along with him. He rolled the window down. He's talking to him. just a great scene on one of the many traffic jams that we have here.
That's
on the
cool,
Atlanta
man.
Freeways. You never know who you're going to bump into these days, though.
Huh, it was traffic on a Saturday.
How hard? I was driving home from the Hawks game on Saturday night at 11:30. And I was stuck in a traffic jam on the connector.
It's getting out of control.
I had to go 5 miles. It took me 40 minutes. And at midnight on Saturday night, there's a lot of people. And when the weather's nice, people are out at night. I understand that. People want to get out there, have a good time, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, that was definitely something that we were all dealing with over the weekend. Just a quick one more thing to mention. You know Greg Clarkson, who does the Saturday morning shows here? Mm-hmm. He's a casting call. Did you see the commercial that he's in on the NCAA tournament? He's like an announcer. One of the very popular commercials that's being played over and over again.
The one that that Kenny and Charles they go to when they're done with the segment.
Yeah,
and then he's
one of the announcers. And then there's the other one with the white guy who doesn't understand basketball, and he's like giving the analysis of the jerseys. Right? He's like, a color commentator is not someone who comments on the colors of the jerseys. I think those are funny.
Yeah, it's Geico, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the Geico commercials. Good for Greg. Because Greg's always in here talking about cast and call and get people put into movies and commercials and stuff. And then there's Greg in a commercial himself.
Atta baby, Greg.
There you go, Greg. Hey, I want to get back to the Julio thing just for a minute as we're talking some NFL here, top of the hour. Andy Bunker and Harry Douglas with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. In 10 minutes, Joe Patrick is going to join us, our 92.9 The Game Braves insider. Some big Braves news from over the weekend, which we'll get to coming up. But isn't the durability and dependability, because you had your Julio Jones recipe right there, why you signed Julio to the contract. The fact that he isn't a diva, and I think this offseason in wide receiver movement has been very telling and has reminded me one of the reasons why I like Julio so much. Like, Antonio Brown gets traded, because of the off-the-field stuff. Odell Beckham gets traded because of the fact that him and management couldn't get on the same page. Isn't it reassuring to know that with a talented guy like Julio, who, by the way, I think is better than those guys anyway, just physically, you're not going to have to deal with any of that nonsense?
It is the biggest blessing you can have as an organization. To have a player of his caliber, like I said, not being those headlines, you don't have to wake up in the middle of the night and expect a call, you know what I mean, of something crazy he's done. I've been around him since he's been in the league. He's a very humble guy. He's chill. He's relaxed. Family guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what you want as your star player.
He just also happens to be, you know, one of the greatest receivers to ever live. You wouldn't know it from the way that he behaves, but, yeah, he just happens to be that guy as well. One more quick NFL story we want to get to here is the owners' meeting is this week, which means they will be debating potential rule changes. Then the competition committee will get together and vote on these rule changes. This seems to be a rite of passage every single offseason now in the NFL where they have to pass 10 new rules. Five of them are dealing with new rules that they passed last year that they have to amend. And it's just this ongoing process of trying to fix problems that they created for themselves over the last decade of changing all of these rules. And it seems like that's where we are again, especially with replay, deciding how far they're going to go with it and whether or not you're going to add an extra official and have every play be reviewable. Where do you stand as a former player on all of these rule changes?
First of all, I don't think every play should be reviewable. You're already taking football to a level that a lot of people might not want it to go. So don't do that. When you're thinking about reviewing every play of a football game, think about the flow of the game that you're messing
right.
up. Thinking about the momentum you may be taking away from a team or both teams who are doing great at the time. You know what I mean? I think that's too much. Everything doesn't have to be critiqued. You know what I mean?
Oh, Harry.
But listen to me, though.
Oh, but yes, it does.
But check this out, though.
I agree with you, but I mean.
You missed a call in the Saints and Rams game.
Yeah.
Just get the call right.
I agree with that 100%.
Because I personally think it was purposely not called.
A conspiracy?
Yeah.
Wow.
Conspiracy theory.
Conspiracy theorist Harry Douglas. He didn't know he was wearing a tinfoil hat in here today. It looks good, by the way.
Thank you.
This hour brought to you by rightfromtheheart.org. Coming up next, switch gears and talk some Braves. Braves with some big news over the weekend. They opened up a new spring training ballpark. They told us who their first three starters are going to be, and we know Ronald Acuna is batting cleanup. We'll talk to Joe Patrick, our Braves insider, about all of that and more coming up next right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Andy Bunker and Harry Douglas with you here till 2 o'clock this afternoon. Coming up in 20 minutes, time for the Wendy Zone. A couple stories from off the beaten path of sports. Wendy Adams, executive producer today, by the way. Nice job, Andy. Wait an hour and 23 minutes to introduce the producer and also the technical director, Bo Johnson, who's here today with us as well. Thanks for being with us, ladies and gentlemen. We'll get to the Wendy Zone coming up in 20 minutes. Harry Douglas, obviously, as well, and Andy Bunker. Now, you can follow me and Harry on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at TBM929. Harry is on Twitter at HDouglas83.
That's me.
That's Harry. And you can tell us what's on your mind on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line as well, 404-741-0929. But before we get to the Wendy Zone coming up, haven't had a chance to talk much Braves today, so we thought it would be a good idea.
But hold on real quick.
Sorry, Harry.
Can we pause real quick?
Yeah.
Because I have something on my mind real quick.
Absolutely, you can.
Wendy, when he gave you the shout-out, can you at least smile, Wendy?
Oh, very focused.
I'm dialed in.
I'm zoned in.
Wendy, you can focus and smile at the same time.
You can't see me. How do you know if I'm smiling or not?
I can see you.
I'm hiding behind
Wendy,
this
Wendy, I'm 6'1".
Awesome
All you got to do is follow Wendy on social media to know that she smiles a lot.
I do.
And she'll take pictures of it and videos.
I do,
and
yes.
And you can follow all
many
of
them. Many selfies, yes. Yeah, many Insta stories.
There's plenty of, exactly. There's a lot of documentation
don't
of Wendy
judge.
Smiling. But you also got to know, she's back there doing digital stuff.
I have to document my life back here.
The website, 929thegame.com, is constantly updated by Wendy and Knox. There's a lot going on over there. All right, so we'll get to the Wendy Zone coming up in 20 minutes. Joe Patrick joins us now, though, to talk some Braves, our 929 The Game Braves insider. First off, Joe, happy Monday. How are you?
I'm doing good, and I've been listening to the show. And if you didn't, I was going to announce Wendy as the executive producer when I came on because I had noticed that I'd been critiquing your performance and that it hadn't been done. So, yeah, thank you for taking care of that.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Joe. See, that's the good thing about Joe is not only is he's our Braves insider, but he's always got a critical eye on what's going on, no matter what it is that he's covering, whether it's us here at the station or the Atlanta Braves. Joe, we had this conversation a lot when we were down at spring training, being critical of the starting rotation and what it might look like. We found out over the weekend that they're going young. It is going to be a youth movement, at least in the beginning of the season. What did you make of the announcement that days two and days three of the season are going to be Kyle Wright and Bryce Wilson?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, and it really feels like a kind of a not a changing of the guard, but it really feels like kind of a new chapter starting for this Braves team with these young arms coming in. You know, we've heard so much about these guys. Brian Jordan, when we were down there in spring training, he was all over Bryce Wilson. He absolutely loved the guy, and he's been one of Atlanta's most consistent pitchers all throughout spring training. And then Kyle Wright, we saw his stuff up close and personal, and we know what he's capable of. So. You know, it really, to me, it just signifies the amount of trust that that the manager, Brian Snicker, has in these guys. I mean, you look at a guy like Kyle Wright, he was only drafted in 2017, I believe, and he's now going to be starting on Sunday Night Baseball on the opening weekend of the season. So it's pretty amazing kind of the trust that the manager has in these guys.
Do you think he's ready for it? Is Kyle up for the national spotlight? You said it, Sunday Night Baseball, Philadelphia Phillies, Bryce Harper in Philadelphia. I mean, it's going to be the limelight is going to be placed directly on him in his first start. I mean, we talked to him a little bit, got a chance to be around him a little bit. Do you get the sense that he's up for that type of challenge?
Yeah, I mean, he's always come off as a very calm, cool, and collected type of guy. And Brian Jordan talked about this again. He said, you know, we talk about how these Vanderbilt pitchers have something about them that prepares them for these types of situations and to come in and not be overwhelmed. They seem to have a certain moxie, a certain kind of composure, and it's high-intensity baseball. You know, I grew up, I went to college in the area. I went to many Vanderbilt baseball games when I was in college just because it was a great product to watch. And, you know, those guys are used to pitching in front of people, pitching in situations that are you know, pressure-packed as much as a college baseball game can be. There's a lot expected of them when they're there, and they have to perform. So, you know, I think that it will be an interesting case to see how Kyle Wright comes out of this. I don't know if we can really predict, you know, how he's going to deal with it exactly. But, I mean, we've seen him in his demeanor, and he seems like a calm kind of guy that is not going to let this kind of ruffle him too much. But it'll be interesting to see how he deals with it and if it affects the control and command that he's had over his pitches, because he's been one of Atlanta's best pitchers this spring in terms of limiting walks and throwing strikes.
Joe, that's one thing I was going to say. When you play baseball at Vandy, and I'm a big baseball fan, so I watch college baseball a lot because Louisville is so good. And that's why I went to school.
But shout out to Louisville.
When you watch Vandy and you understand Vandy baseball, you understand those guys play in big, big games every year. It's very rare that they're not in the College World Series. But those guys and the opponents that they play against year in and year out prepares them for the major leagues.
Yeah, it's really a pipeline for Major League Baseball players. And part of it is because of the professionalism that's on display when you go to see those games. I mean, it is really, they seem to hold themselves to a higher account in terms of the overall professionalism that's put into it. At least from what I've seen, it's a very, just professional environment there. And like I said, there's a lot expected of them. And they go to Vanderbilt because they want to be put through this kind of crucible that hardens them and forms them into a player that can make an impact at the major league level. So I think that all kind of plays into a part of it, and I think that that's why we've seen so many great Vanderbilt, especially pitchers. They've really put out some great pitchers, but we've seen it with Dansby as well. So, you know, these guys come out and are able to perform relatively quickly, usually, at the major league level.
Joe Patrick joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, our 92.9thegame.com Braves insider. Other big news from the weekend, Joe, Ronald Acuna is going to be batting cleanup. I know we spent plenty of time making arguments for batting him leadoff, plenty of time making arguments for batting him in that fourth spot. Was this what you expected?
You know, I think it is. You know, the way that things have been trending, especially over the last couple of weeks, have kind of been pointing to this. And I think that, you know, I don't see why anybody should really have an issue with this. I think that most people will be totally on board with him batting in the middle of the order. I think the only reason people might have some hesitation is because of what Ronald Acuna has said publicly, which is that he prefers and enjoys hitting at the top of the order because it, you know, for all it allows him to, you know, be free, not have so much pressure, whatever it is. But I think from a production standpoint, him batting in the middle of that order is really going to be more productive for the team, even if maybe he takes a hit in some batting average numbers or things like that. He's still going to have more opportunities to drive in runners. And as those opportunities accumulate, he's going to drive in those guys. I mean, we've seen this spring, and of course, like we all saw how amazing his second half was last year, but we've seen him this spring hitting in the middle of the order, and it doesn't really seem to have an effect on the way he's swinging or anything like that. So I see this as nothing but a positive, to be honest. And, you know, Kevin Seitzer, the hitting coach, has talked to Dave O'Brien with The Athletic about just how much this is going to kind of lengthen the Braves lineup. You know, when you look at the top of that order, you'll likely have Ender Inciarte, Josh Donaldson, and Freddie Freeman. One of those guys is probably going to get on. If you just judging by the overall raw numbers, the likelihood is that one of those guys is going to get on base, and Ronald Acuna is still going to get an opportunity to hit in that first inning more often than not. So I think that, you know, when you're projecting a lineup, you can really only schedule out your first inning, and then after that, you know, some statisticians will say that, you know, you should just bat higher, your best players higher in your order, so they get more at-bats over the course of the season. But I think that, you know, it'll really help the Braves in this instance for him to bat in the middle of the order. Last year, I think he hit 26 homers and 64 RBIs, so he was driving himself in almost half the time last year. I think it'll really help to have guys on base.
Yeah. At the end of the day, Joe, the objective of the game is to score more runs than your opponent. And if my best hitter was hitting one and was so productive, I'm moving him to 3 or 4 so he can be even more productive and give us a chance to win more games.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I think that the way that Brian Snicker sees it is that with the hitters that he has in front of Acuna, there's almost certainly going to be guys on base more often than not when he comes up to the plate.
Exactly.
And if they're on first, that means it's going to be more difficult for the pitcher to pitch to Acuna because he can't pitch around him in the same way he could if he was leading off the game.
Joe Patrick joining us here, our 929thegame.com Braves insider. Final question for you, Joe. Do you think that there was sort of an overarching message sent by Alex Anthopoulos and Brian Snitker by doing what they're doing with the pitching rotation? And Anthopoulos told us last week, or said last week, was quoted as saying, we're going to surprise people and we're just going to play the best guys. In order to actually make good on that promise, didn't they sort of have to do what they did?
Yeah, I think you're totally right. I think that, you know, the way that this has been done is almost like a meritocracy, you know, like these three guys have earned it. And I know that there's been a lot of hand-wringing over Julio Teheran and him starting opening day once again. But again, he had a great spring training. He and Kyle Wright and Bryce Wilson had the three best spring trainings of any Braves pitcher. And you could probably throw Max Fried into that argument for having one of the best springs among the pitching staff. And he will probably also start in this first five. So, you know, I think that, yeah, it was an open competition. They talked about that to us when we were there. You know, they all encouraged each other and helped each other, and it was a healthy competition. And at the end of the day, these are the three guys that competition produced.
Great stuff, Joe. As always, thanks so much for the time. We'll chat with you again soon.
Sounds good, guys. Looking forward to it.
He's right. I mean, if you're going to preach competition and you're going to say that you're going to reward whoever is performing at their best, you have to actually do it, right? You can't just say we're going to have a great open competition and then go with the vets anyway.
Well, you better do it or you're going to have problems in your locker room.
Exactly right. Exactly right. We'll get back to that conversation a little bit later on in the show. Top of the 12 o'clock hour, all the important audio from the weekend. It was a big weekend. We'll get to all of that at noon. Coming up next, though, time for the Wendy Zone. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Celebrities and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, Harry Douglas wasn't with us on Friday, but I have a follow-up to our story that we did about the Florida Man Challenge. Now, Harry, I'm not sure if you've done this. We all took turns on Friday doing the Florida Man Challenge. Essentially, you put your name in Google, you follow that by your birth date, and you find a Florida Man story that has to do with your birthday, and that is your story. That is your Florida story, because everything seemingly crazy happens in Florida, and that's where all those stories come from. And Andy had... If you want to do it while we're talking here, that would be amazing to find your Florida story. But anyways, Andy, you asked a really good question on Friday.
I did?
Why Florida?
Yeah, why Florida?
Why are so many of these stories coming out of Florida? And I have three good answers for you on why Florida.
All right.
So, number one, it's really easy to get details on crime stories in Florida because it's set up so that everything is public record.
Oh.
So, reporters have quick, easy access to arrest records in Florida, which isn't the case for a lot of states. It is in the state of Florida. Number two, it has a lot of people. It's the third most populated state in America behind California and Texas. So,
okay, so just statistically.
A variety of nonsense going on with the different demographics of Florida.
And more then, people, more idiots.
Exactly. Yeah. And then number three, Florida Man stories are most likely to go viral. So more websites are picking up the Florida stories than other stories. So that is why the Florida Man Challenge and why Florida.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now that it's picked up the momentum that it has. Like, there's the hashtag Florida Man. If you watch the show Atlanta, they had a joke on Florida Man throughout the entire season two. So that's right. Once something starts, then it really becomes more obvious and people talk about it more. I do wonder, though, if it is just more per capita, because it feels like it. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's because of the attention, the accessibility to the police reports and all that stuff. But it just kind of seems like maybe there's a higher percentage of silliness in Florida as well. Maybe someone will do that report also. But the Florida Man Challenge, did you do it? So you just type in Florida Man on your birthday.
Oh, type in Florida Man. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, you type in Florida Man. You follow that by your birthday. And you find the craziest story. And then that's the story that you either send out on your Twitter or on your Facebook page. And you just hashtag it with Florida Man Challenge.
Mine was a guy was arrested naked in the Chick-fil-A parking lot.
Which sounds about right.
Why wouldn't you?
Mine was smearing stuff on food at a Dollar General store.
Also gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, also gross. You know, if you really wanted to take the Florida Man Challenge and become the Florida Man, get your hand on some bath salts.
Oh,
and then just see what you do. You might try to eat somebody's face off like that guy did.
I wouldn't recommend that.
I mean, you don't have to do that.
I don't approve Andy's.
Okay.
Andy's.
It's not a safe option.
No, it's definitely not.
But it could happen. You could do it if you wanted to. All right.
Well, while Harry's looking that up, we can talk about potentially having history with this year's NCAA tournament. So the lack of upsets has made it so that we have one remaining perfect bracket in the world right now. So it's a bracket called Center Road. They entered the NCAA's online challenge. It's gone perfect 48 out of 48 on picks through the tournament's first round that included the upsets by Liberty, U.S. Irvine, and Murray State. And remember I was telling you it was one in nine quintillion, something of like that, finding a grain of sand in the world. And that's your odds of having to win. So this bracket, this is their final four in this Center Road bracket, the only perfect bracket left. Three number one seeds. So they have Duke, Virginia, Gonzaga, and number two Kentucky in their final four. And then they have Gonzaga beating Kentucky for the title.
Wow. So, I mean, they have a chance still because their final four isn't outrageous. You know, a lot of times people that'll be winning their pool locally after the Sweet 16 are people that just sort of went crazy and made all the bold picks. Now, that wouldn't work this year because there haven't really been any upsets.
Correct. Like
what Oregon is the only double-digit seed that made it to the Sweet 16.
Right.
You've got all one seeds, all two seeds, and all three seeds in the Sweet 16. That only leaves four other possibilities. But that person has a legitimate chance to have a perfect bracket. That would be crazy.
They really do. And this is the first time someone's gotten 48 out of 48 correct. So this is already history in the making, getting to the Sweet 16 without a missed pick. So could we have the first perfect bracket this season? I think it's kind of intriguing because we were talking about that. The 48 straight games, by the way, those odds were one in, it looks like, 281 trillion. So that's how hard it is just to get the Sweet 16 correct. So one remaining perfect bracket, and we can see if they can go the distance.
Wow.
Well, it's official. You know, the LA Lakers not making the playoffs for the sixth season despite adding LeBron James. And these are some... Hold on. This is gonna blow your mind. So LeBron hasn't missed the playoffs since his second season in the league. That was 14 years ago. He was back on this pretty subpar Cleveland Cavaliers team. So it also breaks his streak of being in the finals for the eighth consecutive season. Four in Miami. He had four again with the Cavaliers. Now, to put this in perspective, here are some of the things that weren't even around or were going on when LeBron James was not in the playoffs. We'd never heard of Kim Kardashian. She was not on the scene. Keeping Up with the Kardashians premiered a year later after her tape came out.
What tape, Wendy?
A tape. We'll just leave it at that. And Google's your friend.
Oh, I never heard about that.
Me either.
Okay, cool. Me neither. But you probably wouldn't have heard of YouTube either. It launched a few months earlier before LeBron made the playoffs. And we were still 2 years away from the first iPhone coming out.
Wow.
Also, man. LeBron couldn't subtweet any of his teammates not making the playoffs because Twitter didn't exist then. Netflix was still delivering DVDs, but streaming was not a thing.
Oh yeah, remember that when they would bring a DVD to your house?
What? But so I don't. Great. What about Freaknik? Was Freaknik still here then?
I don't know. Now I have to look at that.
I think it was.
What year? What year are we talking about again?
2007.
Oh no, Freaknik was gone in '96.
Oh, that's when it ended in '96.
Yeah, when the Olympics came.
It's been that long.
The Olympics came and they got
you
rid
still
of
hear stories about Freaknik all the time.
Oh boy. Boy, I was out there fundraising for my basketball team.
Were you?
I would have been out there fundraising for something else.
Look how he works. Oh, won't he do it? Every time.
Also, since the last time LeBron didn't make the playoffs, The Office was finishing its first season.
Right.
Carrie Underwood was in the process of winning season 4 of American Idol. And I don't know if you know this name, but Aubrey Graham wasn't making music as Drake. He was starring on Degrassi, The Next Generation in Canada.
What were you guys doing 14 years ago? So 14 years ago, 2005. What are you doing in 2005?
Oh, I don't 2005, even know what I did this weekend.
I was being the hottest guy on University of Louisville's campus. And my stamp is on it.
That's funny because that's exactly what I was doing at the University of Washington campus, being the hottest guy.
Birds of a feather flock together.
I don't know if I had quite the same level of success that you did. I don't know. Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't.
Well, I was a good, wholesome young man.
Yeah.
You know.
So was I.
I didn't drink at that time.
Oh, I did.
I was just
probably too
relaxing.
Much. You know what's funny?
Dasani's.
I posted this on Twitter over the weekend. That's the same year that I bought. I bought a shirt in front of the basketball game that said, I heart UW. It was a UW basketball shirt. And I wore it for the first time on Friday because UW was in the tournament again for the first time in a long time. It's a 14-year-old shirt. It's got holes in it. It's falling apart. And it worked on Friday. It didn't work yesterday, though. UW got a mud hole stomped in them.
How do you remember that?
Well, so did Louisville.
Okay, I traded it for 4 beers in front of Heck Edmondson Pavilion. Because I wanted that shirt.
T-shirt cost you 4 beers.
That's a good investment, right? I would have drank those beers. I'd have been buzzed, and then it would have gone away.
At that age, yes.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
a T-shirt.
You didn't have money in college, so, you know.
Exactly.
All my friends
were
going to buy the little cheap 211s, buying the heaven and hell, little stuff
you
like
ever,
that.
You ever trade money on your food plan for real money in real life? Like, I got you dinners all week this week if you pay for this, this, and this. Like, all right, cool, deal.
Were you allowed to do that?
Probably not.
And I used to use a little girl's their little card thing at the SAC, at the student center. Baby, let me get your card. I'll bring it right back. I had a card for about 5 days.
You know how envious I am of the two of you guys? Because I couldn't even tell you what I did on Friday, let alone like 14 years ago. But you guys, like people who have those kind of memories that can just remember something at the drop of a dime, like how do you do that?
If it's related to sports, I can remember anything.
Listen, you could play a song and I could remember what's going on during the song.
See, I could tell you the song lyrics and I could sing every word of that, but you asked me what I did. No clue. Zero clue.
What about this song? What is this?
I'm happily married now, but you
jump around?
You could play a slow jam. Oh boy, and I can remember what happened on that slow jam.
Insane in the membrane.
Each slow jam has something attached. Well,
yeah, me too. All right, we'll come back. Top of the 12 o'clock hour. All the important audio from the weekend. It was a busy weekend, man. Hawks with a nice win on Saturday. NCAA tournament. The Braves were in action. We'll get to all that to kick off the 12 o'clock hour right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.